students. My family. I wanted you to be free.
Welcome into Box Office Quarterbacks, my friend Eric, Gerald, me, Jeff. That was a weird way to say it. But anyway, this is our most anticipated episode of the entire year. We are talking about X-Men 97, Season 1 just wrapped up. We have nothing but good things to say about this show, guys. It is one of the most fantastic pieces of superhero media you'll ever see. Eric, I know you've been gushing about this show for about 9 weeks now. I'm going to let you just get it out of the way and get into your initial reactions.
Honestly, like, I could care less about animation. Like, everybody was talking about What If. I was like, whatever, animation. I was more of a live action type of person when it comes to watching superhero content, especially when we got word of X-Men 97. I was just like, I really didn't care about the X-Men either. So it's just like, I would have rather saw them in live action first, but I was totally wrong. This, all the superlatives you can say about this show, it is riveting. It was heartbreaking at times. It induced so many emotions. Like, this has to be one of the top five, not just MCU content, but superhero content we've ever seen in this season one.
Yeah, just I agree wholeheartedly, Eric. I mean, you look, even if you just looked at the animated superhero content we have out there, that includes all the DC animated universe, which I know you've seen, Eric, and I've seen all of them. I love those things, but this first season, just like, now what I expect from it, and seeing the animation, the characters, the arcs, the comedy, the drama, the heartstring pulling moments, you know, it's just like, you don't get this a lot in most animated forms of superhero stuff. But I'd go so far as even reaching outside of the DCAU and Marvel universe. Like, I love Invincible. It's better than Invincible. I love My Hero Academia in the anime world. It's way better than that. Like, this is some of the best superhero content we've ever gotten, for sure.
Yeah, it's almost like the Saturday morning cartoon that we grew up watching grew up with us, because there is, like, mature themes here. Like, they straight up kill off major characters in the show, and they don't come back at the end. Like, it is just well acted as far as the voice actors go. The storyline was crazy. Bastion, who doesn't even show up until like episode 7, is one of the most memorable villains we've ever had in a Marvel Disney Plus show. Mm-hmm. Like, I like have so many things that I love about this show, and I know you guys love so much about it too. Let's start with our favorite scenes. And I know there's a lot to pick from in 10 episodes, but Gerald, what really stood out to you when it comes to this show?
That's not fucking fair.
Think about it. But I'm putting you on the spot.
Man. I mean, there's so many. I mean, like, you can, like, the in Genosha, when, like, that one I think really stuck with me. Like, the ending of the Genosha, I'm saying that right, correct? Genosha, yeah. But at the ending of the battle there, where Gambit sacrifices and Magneto sacrifices himself, and we're led to believe that both of them are dead, just that entire scene was so, it was greatly animated. You got a lot of emotion, as we've already mentioned in here, and just so much, like, it felt so real, you know, and it was great. And that's something about this show, is like, it uses, while it's very out of this world of mutants and big ass robots and people turning into mutant killing machines, it's still at its core a story that we grapple with in like today's world, right? And just like equality and seeing each other differently. And it's able to really tell that story in a beautiful way, I think, with not screaming from atop of a soapbox.
Favorite scenes, I'm going to give you three right off the top of my head. I think it was episode 1 or episode 2, where Scott jumped out of the plane and used like his laser beams to brace his landing. I was just like, damn, they're really doing Scott. Like I didn't give a fuck about Cyclops, but man, I was like, man, damn, he's pretty cool, man. But like that one, when Storm got her powers back, is another favorite scene of mine, where she was flying around and she saw her reflection in the water. And then the last one of my on my third favorite scene was when we saw the true extent of Magneto's power in episode, I forgot which one it was, whether it was 8 or 9, where everybody says Magneto was right and he goes to the North Pole and just shuts everything off. Like those three scenes, I was just like, damn, like they really helped me like care about the X-Men, and just this whole show made me care about like, they really need to do it justice in live action.
Yeah.
There is a huge standard to live up to right now, as Gerald would say, right, Gerald? But like Genosha and Gambit's death scene, I thought was just so memorable and heartbreaking at the same time. But in episode 9, the penultimate episode, when Magneto rips the animantium out of Wolverine, holy shit. Like, I'm still thinking about that.
We were avoiding that. No, I'm just kidding. No, but there's so many great scenes. I mean, hell, the first scene, like when we get all the X-Men together, each one of them gets their own little intro. Storm's entrance, Magneto at court in, what is it, episode 2? He just takes the entire Justice up into space and just like, I can fuck with you if you want me to, but like, we could just not.
Yeah.
Like, make your choice. And like, there's just so many great, memorable scenes in the show, and it makes it so rewatchable.
Yeah, like I definitely want to go back and revisit this season, especially before season 2 comes out. But there's a huge cast of characters here, and I think that's a testament to how good the writing is. I was watching, or I was listening to The Midnight Boys, which me and Eric are fans of, and they talked about how every character in this finale got a chance to shine in their own way. And I definitely agree with them. Like, even like down to Morph, he gets his little moment with Wolverine here. There's so many characters to choose from. Eric, who would you say are your favorite characters of season 1?
Again, I'm going to go with the my line of thinking of picking 3. So I'm going to go in no order. My 3 favorite characters were Cyclops, Magneto, and Rogue. She turned up in the season finale, and I was just like, man, that's for Gambit, when she was mollywhopping Bastion for a little bit. And I was just like, in any of the other like live action show movies, we never got a testament of how like truly strong Rogue is. And like in this series, they showed like she's strong. Like she was not done justice in the live action. And again, it just goes back to the point of just like, they really set the standard of like how these characters should be portrayed.
Yeah, like Scott and Rogue, like me and Ahmed recently watched the first X-Men movie, and they suck in those movies. I'm not going to lie. Like, all they do is complain. So we definitely had a glow up here. Gerald, who would you rank as your 3 favorite characters of
this? Man, I can't copy paste. I can't copy pasta Eric, but like, it's so damn, like you said, like especially Rogue, man, like Rogue's whole story arc this entire time. And you watch her like break down multiple times throughout this series, including in the penultimate, whenever she, or was it the 9th or 8th episode when she chooses to go with Magneto. And then, like Eric says, she's mollywopping. And there's like this one specific scene where she's flying through the air, just like about to deliver this hell of a punch, and you just see this one tear just like flying down. And like you said, it's like, that's for Gambit. Like, she might be the best, but Cyclops too, man. And like, the whole Cyclops family, shit. I mean, they're really a core piece of this show. It's Cyclops family and friends to an extent in some parts, but yeah. They were fun. And I never really gave a shit about Cyclops ever. I was always like, you know, like just send Jean over to Wolverine. You know, like nobody cares about Cyclops. But now I'm like, I feel bad for Cyclops because Morph over here morphed into his wife to make Wolverine feel better about himself for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That's not a little weird, is it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the whole Summers family clan for mine, which is Scott, Jean, and Cable. Even though it was kind of funny, the scenes with Cable and Scott, because I'm like, oh, this man's so much older than his dad. It's very weird. But I did like them. I love Magneto here. Any characters you didn't like in this season? I do have one in particular.
I have one too.
I did not like Professor X.
I was about to say Charles, yeah. Man, they made Charles look like a weak. Oh my God! Like
he also like,
yeah, nah, man, this was not. First off, he was gone for like 75% of the season, and yeah. Then comes back and is just complaining the whole time. I'm just like, man, you're this big old like psychic man. Just man, he's just. I don't want to say what I want to say about him, but yeah, I'm just like, ah, man, just shut up.
Like, yeah. I would be pissed at him if, like, he comes rolling back in 9 months later. He's like, hey, guys, what's up? I was in space with my new girlfriend. I'm like, you could get the fuck out of here, Charles.
You weren't dead, but you should have just been ahead and been dead. Like, just stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was thinking, I was like, who do I not like? But, like, it's probably him. Yeah. All the reasons y'all said. There's nothing redeemable there. And like, it's kind of an issue when, like, you have Professor X and Magneto in a show, and Magneto ends up becoming the, like, big hero. Like, not that that's, like, I don't like the way it ended up, but, like, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like Charles Xavier is kind of screwed over a little bit here, but at the same time, I don't know what you would change to fix him. I mean, he was wrong. Magneto was the one that was right. So...
Like, he kind of redeems himself a little bit in the finale. Like, he does take Magneto's mind back, and then that helps him prevent, you know, Doomsday. But, yeah, Charles sucks. Sorry, Charles.
Now they're all stuck in times and all shit.
Yeah, and that's going to transition us to our next segment, which is the X-Men are scattered across time now. The Summers family is in the future. And you get Rogue and Professor X and everybody else in ancient Egypt. Apocalypse shows up. There's a tease to Gambit coming up. Where do you see season two going from the end of this episode?
I mean, for me, like, I wasn't big in the comics and reading, like, what happens. But I read, like, a lot of, like websites, and they have their theories and guesses. But I mean, it seems if they stick with the source material, obviously Apocalypse might be the big bad. Apocalypse is going to resurrect Gambit. And also Apocalypse is the one that gives Wolverine his adamantium back. So I mean, that might be the route that they go. I also thought that in this finale, we would get a glimpse of Onslaught, because like when I was reading, they said that Professor X, the reason Onslaught is like this big, bad, like telepath who combines the qualities of Professor X and Magneto. So they said that when Professor X incapacitated Magneto in one of the ish comic runs, Onslaught appeared because it's more of Magneto's repressed memories, bad memories. So I might be wrong if someone, when we put this up and someone smarter than me can comment, but that's where I thought they were going to go. But yeah, definitely looks like Apocalypse is going to be the big bad. And again, the movie sucked. So yes. Where the last time we saw Apocalypse. So I'm interested to see how they go this route. And especially like we're going through time, like, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, for sure. Like, we do need a redemption story from the Apocalypse we did get. And to have a superpowered godlike figure, I think would be really cool. Yeah, there's definitely ways we can go for season two. Gerald, anything else you want to add about the direction we might go?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have two different teams set in times, different time zones. So they're probably going to be trying to figure out how the hell to get back to one another. And then Wolverine, as Eric mentioned, with the Apocalypse stuff, I think his story, I can get a little more detail of the story just because I've done like a decent amount of looking into it online. But from what, if they're going this direction, Wolverine's going to be Wolverine and see that everybody's gone. And instead of looking for them, he's just going to go off on his own and try to fix his own issues, which is right now not having adamantium, because adamantium is what makes him heal faster. So right now his body's going into overdrive to heal, which gives us, I want to say it was feral Wolverine, which is basically he's closer to an actual Wolverine than he is to a human. He's going to start having hair, like longer hair, be bigger, more beefy, more angry, kind of a pissy motherfucker. And that's when Apocalypse comes in and makes him a third horseman, giving him back his adamantium. I don't know. I didn't really get too much into my research as to what the Third Horseman shit means, but maybe that's where we also see Gambit coming back as well, which I would assume once we get like the Third Horseman stuff is whenever we're going to start seeing the teams get back together. Very interested to see that more of the Cable and the Sumner's family, like just kind of interactions too. That's something that, you know, I didn't even realize was a thing when I've watched any of the movies. And now that I do, I kind of want to watch them and see if there was any hints at it. And also, I just like it's a new kind of relationship that I've never really seen explored in the Marvel universe. And I kind of just want to see that.
Yeah, it would be cool to see like that relationship on the big screen. You also get some quick cameos here. Spider-Man, Daredevil, I think Silver Samurai is in there. Omega Red is another one.
Moon Knight's in
there. Iron Man.
Black Panther.
Black Panther, yeah. So like
Daredevil had a good amount of screen time, low key. Daredevil over here, like he knew what he was doing the entire night. Everybody else is just stopping some fights. This guy was stopping like looting on Third Ave. Like you knew what he was doing.
Yeah. We got Cloak and Dagger too.
We got Mary Jane.
That's right.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to see a continuation like Spider-Man 98 if that does come back? Because I'm 100% on board with that.
I'm on board with continuations of animated stuff like this from the 90s because the things with live action, obviously, you got actors aging out of roles. You got to deal with timeline stuff. It's all fucky. It's not great. Animated stuff, for the most part, most voice actors are able to use the same voice for some certain characters for years, you know? So if you're able to get either a majority of or all the main cast, I think that's what they did here in X-Men, yes, do it. If you're not, maybe just make a new show, you know?
I thought everyone sounded pretty good here. I thought Wolverine kind of sounded like a 90-year-old man at some points. But other than that, I thought it was pretty good. Speaking of good, we're going to get into our final rankings now. And I think we might do something special here. There is one ranking above a Hall of Fame. It's the GOAT. It's something me and Ahmed have randomly pulled out a few times when we get in love with stuff that's not really the GOAT. But I think maybe, I don't know, Eric, you start us off. What would you give this show?
Man, it's the GOAT. It's the GOAT. This has been the best MCU on Disney Plus show, better than Loki season 2, better than anything that they've put on there. And again, like I said earlier, this is a top five, like, MCU content. The characters, the story arcs, the emotional pulls, it had everything. I can't say one bad thing about this show, and kudos to everybody that was involved, and I'm very excited for season 2.
It's
the GOAT for me, and I won't keep my explanation long. Gerald, you can go as long as you want, though.
No, I don't want to go that long. I was just going to say that this is the dream team of production staff and voice actors, I think. Like, if there was LeBron, Kobe, Michael, and all of them of the production teams, like, they all put them on one damn team and then let them fucking cook for a whole season. And it was fan-fucking-tastic. I'm excited for season 2. It was never a show I was, like, that into in the 90s. I was young as hell, and I've seen some of them, but, like, now I want to go watch all of them. Now that I've seen all of this season, I'm going to go watch all of the original and watch the season again because it really brings up the rewatchability, which I think is what they should be aiming for when they're redoing stuff like this.
Yeah, like do the live action versions exactly like this. Like Theo James is a pretty big star, the voice of Bastion. I think he would be a good addition to bring that character to live action or like play Mr. Sinister or somebody. I think that would be cool. Anything else you guys want to add, though, before we get out of here?
Just real quick, touching on this. Like you said, live action, like, again, they can't mess this up. And honestly, like, whatever they say about how the show has been rated or how many people watch, they have left a great, like, tentpole of how to do this. So they need to pick a right director. They need to get the right writers. Especially when they do live action. Like, I was just thinking after watching this, I was just like, whatever Avengers movie you have, it has to be X-Men versus the Avengers. Like,
they need to
come back. And I think that will be the shot in the arm the MCU needs.
Yeah. That movie will make $1 billion if that, that is
Civil
the case.
War on a bigger scale.
Yeah. Oh man, that would be sick. But yeah. Nothing but good things. I can't wait to rewatch this show. I can't wait to talk about the MCU moving forward. This has been another edition of Box Office Quarterbacks. I'm Jeff. That's Eric. That's Gerald. We'll talk to you guys very, very soon.